And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindenbaum, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt Frederick. Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, visit them on Facebook today. And we are going to hop right into it. We got four games to review for the Caps. We got the NWHL report and, of course, news and notes and some stuff to talk about at the end. So hopping right into it, on November 7th, the Toronto Maple Leafs came and visited the Washington Capitals. The lineup for the Caps were Alex Ovechkin with Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson with Nicholas Backstrom and Andre Burakovsky, Jason Somero with Jay Beagle and Justin Williams, and Brooks Like with Michael Latta and Tom Wilson. Defensive pairings were Brooks Orpik with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Nate Schmidt, and Braden Holtby was the starter. In the first period, Daniel Winnick scored his second of the season from Morgan Rielly at 2:36 to give Toronto the 1-0 lead. Then Toronto was called for too many men on the ice at 10 minutes on the spot in the first period. Then at Washington penalty, Brooks Orpik was called for slashing at 19:36. At the end of the first, Toronto was up 1-0. Shots were 11-10 Washington. 10-4 were the faceoffs in favor of the Caps. Toronto outhit the Capitals by 1-8-7. And for the power play, their Toronto Maple Leafs' first one was in progress by the end of the period, and the Caps were 0-1. Now, since for the first period, the Caps were stifled in this first period. Toronto scored early and clogged up the neutral zone, making it difficult for the Caps to get into the offensive zone. The Caps need to stop trying to do cute passes and get the puck in the zone and jam it in on net. Then, for the second period, Toronto started the period with Nazem Kadri getting called for interference at 4:12. Then on the power play, Alex Ovechkin scored his 8th goal of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and John Carlson, both of which were their 10th assists of the season. Then Nick Spaulding was called for tripping at 5:52, and then Andre Burakovsky was called for hooking at 19:05. Toronto and Washington were tied at 1 at the end of the second period. Shots were 17-17 each. Faceoffs were 23-10 Washington. Hits were 16-14 Toronto. Toronto is 0-1 on the power play with their second one in progress at the end of the period, and the Washington Capitals were 1-3. Now, since it was a much better second period for the Caps, Ovechkin was able to get on the board with his 483rd career goal, tying Sergei Fedorov for most goals by a Russian in the NHL. Toronto has been sticking to their game and have been making it tough on the Washington Capitals. The Caps just need to keep it simple, get the puck in the zone, and get shots on net. And then for the third period, this was a very penalty-filled period. You had, at 3:06 in the third, you had Tom Wilson and Dion Phaneuf both being called for unsportsmanlike conduct. Then at 5:26, Roman Pulak of the Toronto Maple Leafs was called for interference. Then at 8:12, Tom Wilson was called for a double minor for roughing, while Nazem Kadri was called for just roughing, which that put the Toronto Maple Leafs on the power play, which they converted on when James Van Riemsdyk scored at 9:27 in the third for his fifth goal of the season, assisted by Joffrey Leupold and Morgan Rielly. Toronto then got a penalty at 12:09 when Leo Komarov was called for hooking, and then Matt Hunwick was called for tripping at 13:08, which put the Capitals on a 5-on-3. Nicholas Backstrom scored at 19:59 with his fifth goal of the season from Justin Williams and TJ Oshie. Backstrom's goal was scored with 0.8 seconds left in the game. Going into overtime, the Toronto Maple Leafs and Washington Capitals were tied at 2 apiece. Shots were 29-21 Washington. Faceoffs were 31-19 Washington. Hits was 24-18 Toronto. In the power play, Toronto was 1-3, whereas the Caps were 1-6. In overtime, there was no action whatsoever, or nothing to note. In the shootout, Alexander Ovechkin scored in the fourth round to score the only goal of the shootout. At the end of overtime and the shootout, Washington won the game 3-2. Shots were 32-25 Washington. Faceoffs were 34-22 Washington. Hits were 26-20 Toronto. In the power play, Toronto was 1-3 and Washington was 1-6. Toronto Maple Leafs played a very fast and stiff game throughout, and as a result, almost defeated the Capitals. After using a coach's challenge to get what would have been Alex Ovechkin's second goal of the game waived, Nicholas Backstrom came to the rescue by tying the game with 0.8 seconds left in regulation. I honestly didn't like how Toronto was playing keep away and essentially killing the clock, but once the Caps were able to get the puck in the OT period, that period started to open up in regards to play. However, in the final minute of overtime, the Caps came in on a 2-on-1. Instead of shooting it on the net, they passed the opportunity away, and then the shootout came. It's a tough game to watch if you're a Caps fan, but they got the win and need to shift their focus to Detroit, as that will be an even tougher challenge. And speaking of Detroit, on November 10th, the Washington Capitals played the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit. Lineup for the Capitals had one minor change, and that was on the fourth line with Chandler Stephenson replacing Michael Latta. But your lineup was still Ovechkin with Kuznetsov, Oshie, Johansson with Backstrom and Burakovsky, Chimera with Beagle and Williams, Leik with Stephenson and Wilson, and then Orpik with Carlson, Alzheimer with Niskanen, Orlov with Schmidt, and Holpe was in net. In the first period, you had two penalties, both on Jacob Kindle of the Detroit Red Wings, and both for tripping, the first one at 8:25 and the second one at 12:26. It was nothing-nothing after the first. Shots were 14-9 Washington, which Ovi had 6 alone. Faceoffs were tied at 6 apiece. Hits were 10-5 Detroit. Then power play, the Caps were 0-2, where the Detroit Red Wings had none. Now, since this was a good first period for the Capitals, the first few minutes were dominated by the Red Wings, and it looked like the Wings may have scored, but after an official review to see if the Wings did score, it was shown that there was inconclusive evidence that the puck had entered the net, so no goal was called. After the lengthy review, you could feel the momentum shift the Caps' way, and it showed on the ice, too. Going into the second period, they need to build on that. In the second period, there was no penalties or goals scored, so at the end of the second, it was still tied 0-0. Shots were 21-18 Washington. Detroit had 9 to Washington 7 in the second period. Faceoffs were 14-12 Washington. Hits were 19-10 Detroit. The Caps were 0-2 still on the power play, and Detroit has yet to still have one. The second period saw a more slower-paced game in which the Red Wings were the more dominant team. The Wings took control, but Braden Holpe was sharp in net as he stopped all 9 second-period shots. And then going into the third period, Andreas Athanasiou scored his first NHL goal, which was unassisted at 4:06 into the third. It's a fluky goal. It just kind of snuck right in on Braden Holpe. And then at 9:49, John Carlson was called for hooking. And then at 14:52, Danny DeKeyser was called for delay of game. At the end of the game, the Detroit Red Wings won 1-0 on Athanasiou's first NHL goal. Shots were 38-27 Washington, which Alex Ovechkin had 15 shots on goal. Faceoffs were 22-19 Detroit. Hits were 23-16 Detroit. And on the power play, the Caps were 0-3 to Detroit's 0-4-1. Analysis: it was a better third period for the Caps than the second period was. The Caps outshot the Red Wings 17-9 in this final period, but Peter Mrazek was stellar and pulled out all the stops to pitch the shutout this game. And on the other end of the ice, Braden Holpe was just as amazing. Detroit getting the lucky off-angle goal stings, but that's hockey for you, and you just got to move on to the next game. And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be doing the NWHL report. Want some pre-Thanksgiving fun? Then come to VA Comic-Con at the Richmond Raceway on November 21st and 22nd. Come see special guests like Bob Gale, the creator of Back to the Future, Marina Sirtis, who is from Star Trek The Next Generation, Trina Nishimura from Attack on Titan, and Walter Jones from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and of course, many, many more. For more information on the big two-day show, please visit vacomiccon.com. That's vacomiccon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. And it is now time for the NWHL Report, which is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerbyCon.com. And going into the NWHL report, just to note that there were no games these past 2 weekends due to the Four Nations Cup, which was won by the United States. But instead, we just have news and notes for the NWHL. On November 12th, the National Women's Hockey League announced the representatives who will serve on the NWHL Players Association board this season. The NWHLPA will be presided over by former U.S. Olympian Erica Lawler, the director of the NWHLPA. The player representatives, as voted by their teammates, are Emily Falzer and Megan Duggan from the Buffalo Buttes, Celeste Brown and Taylor Hulls from the New York Riveters, Kelly Stack and Kaylee Fratkin from the Connecticut Whale, and Hillary Knight and Brianna Decker from the Boston Pride. NWHL teams named their captains also this past week. The Boston Pride announced Brianna Decker and Hillary Knight as co-captains. The Buffalo Buttes announced Emily Falzer as captain and Megan Duggan and Shelby Bram as assistant captains. The Connecticut Whale announced Jessica Kuzumi as captain and Kaylee Fratkin as alternate captain. The New York Riveters announced Ashley Johnston as captain and Madison Parker and Morgan Fritz Ward as assistant captains. And they were all as voted by their teammates. The NWHL standings going into this weekend's action. At number one is the Boston Pride at 3-0 with a plus 11 goals differential. Coming in second is the Connecticut Whale at 3-0 as well, but with a plus 8 goal differential. Third is Buffalo Buttes at 0-3 with a negative 8 goal differential. And in last place is the New York Riveters at 0-3 with a negative 11 goal differential. And on tap is on November 15th at 3:30 p.m. It'll be the Connecticut Whale at the Buffalo Buttes. The Buffalo Buttes will be joining forces with the Food Bank of Western New York and the Goodwill of Western New York to sponsor a canned food and coat drive at their game this Sunday. NWHL fans who attend this weekend are encouraged to bring canned food, warm winter coats, and other items with them to the game to donate in order to help families in the Buffalo area that are in need. And then at 7 p.m. it's the Boston Pride at the New York Riveters, where the New York Riveters will be hosting Military Appreciation Night in conjunction with Defending the Blue Line, where you will see the Riveters wearing camo jerseys, which will be up for auction after the game. For more information on the National Women's Hockey League, visit nwhl.co today. And also remember, you can download the Hockey Shift app for live in-game updates as well, or you can watch online. And with that, we will be going to break. The Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerbyCon.com. And everyone, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans. And we are going to get back into the Washington Capitals game breakdowns, going with November 12th against the Philadelphia Flyers in Philadelphia. The lineup for the Capitals was Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Oshie. Johansson with Backstrom and Burakovsky. Chimera with Beagle and Williams. Like with Latta and Wilson. And then on defense, you had Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby as the starter. This was the first game that Brooks Orpik missed due to a lower body injury. In the first period, Scott Laudon scored his third goal of the season, assisted by Chris Van de Velde at 3:34, which gave the Flyers the 1-0 lead. Then at 10:35, TJ Oshie scores his fifth goal of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov, which was his 11th assist of the season. And that was scored at 10:35. Then at 11:02, Andrei Burakovsky was called for kneeing. Then at 14:04, Justin Williams was called for slashing. And then at 15:56, Matt Niskanen was called for delay of game. And then at 19:46, Tom Wilson was called for charging. This was a good first period for the Caps, as they showed perseverance after going down 1-0, but the Caps were also very sloppy as they got penalized 4 times after they tied the game at 1 apiece. The Capitals need to stay out of the box and play their game, as the Caps are outplaying the Flyers, which leads us into our stats of the Caps and the Flyers were tied at 1 apiece after the first. The shots were 11-4 Washington. The Caps won 11 faceoffs to the Flyers 9. The Caps outhit the Flyers 13-8. The Caps had no power plays, but the Flyers were 0-3 in the first period with their 4-1 in progress. Now going into the second period at 1:07, Claude Giroux scored his fifth goal of the season, assisted by Wayne Simmonds and Mark Streit on the power play at 1:07. Then Philadelphia penalty on Michael Raffle for cross-checking at 9:09, which then on the power play at 9:54, Jason Chimera scored his fourth goal of the season, assisted by Kuznetsov and Williams. the 12th assist for Evgeny Kuznetsov and the 10th assist for Justin Williams this season. Then at 10:39, Washington scored another goal when Justin Williams scored his third of the season, assisted by Jay Beagle and Jason Chimera. Then Michael Latta was called for fighting Ryan White, who was also penalized for fighting at 12:58. Then at 15:44, Sean Couturier was called for tripping, which then on that power play at 17:27, Jason Chimera scored his second goal of the game and fifth of the season, assisted by Matt Niskanen and Tom Wilson. Then at 18:42, Michael Raffel was called for hooking, and that was it for the second period. After the second, the Caps were up 4-2. Shots were 23-11 Washington, which were 12-7 in the second period, respectively. Faceoffs were 23-16 Washington, and then Caps were out hitting the Flyers 24-19. Caps were 2-for-2 on the power play with their third in progress going into the third period, and the Flyers were 1-for-4. The Caps did not start the period well as they were scored on while on the penalty kill in the opening minutes, but they came back with three unanswered goals. The Caps were 2-for-2 on the power play and will enter the third with the power play. And a coach's challenge due to offsides costed Alexander Ovechkin goal number 484. And then in the third period, the only thing of note was that Nicholas Backstrom scored his sixth goal of the season, assisted by Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson at 13:51. Which led to the Washington Capitals defeating the Philadelphia Flyers 5-2. Shots were 32-20 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 33-26 in favor of Washington. The Flyers outhit the Caps by 2, 34-32. And on the power play, the Caps were 2-for-3 to the Flyers being 1-for-4. This was a good game for the Capitals as they did all the little things in this game that they didn't do against the Red Wings. They crashed the net, made it hard for Steve Mason to see shots, and they made the power play count. One of the better overall games for the Caps this season. Which then leads us into last night's game on Friday the 13th against the Calgary Flames in Washington. The lineup for the Capitals stayed the same, which meant you had Ovechkin with Kuznetsov and Oshie, Johansson with Backstrom and Burakovsky, Chimera with Beagle and Williams, Lake with Latta and Wilson, Schmidt was on the defense, top defensive pairing with John Carlson again, Olsen with Niskanen, Orlov with Chorney, and Philip Grubauer was in the net. In the first period, the only thing of note was that John Carlson was called for delay of game at 7:16. At the end of the first, it was nothing-nothing Calgary-Washington. Shots were 11-9 Calgary. Faceoffs were 8 apiece. Hits were 11-8 Calgary. And on the power play, the Flames were 0-for-1 to the Caps, had no power plays. It was a good first period, but not the best. While the Caps did have a great opportunities, I felt the Flames were the better team this period. Kerry Ramo came up huge for the Flames, which is an indicator that after the last time these two teams played, that he needed to up his game. Going into the second period, at 7:35, Michael Frolik scored his fourth goal of the season, assisted by Sam Bennett. Then at 14:10, Mark Giordano got called for interference. And then at 14:22, TJ Oshie was called for interference. Calgary ended the period up 1-0, outshooting the Caps 20-19. Faceoffs were even at 21 apiece. Caps outhit the Calgary Flames 18-15, and the power play was 0-for-2 for Calgary and 0-for-1 for Washington. It was a good second period for the Caps, but you can clearly tell that this is not the same Calgary Flames team that they faced earlier this season. The Flames are taking away shooting lanes and are playing a smothering defense. The Capitals need to tweak their game, otherwise they will lose their second game in 3 games, 1-0. In the third period, Sean Monahan scored his fifth goal of the season, assisted by Yuri Hudler and Dennis Wiedemann at 1:32 into the third. And then at 2:28, Brandon Bullock was called for 2 minutes for roughing and 5 minutes for fighting, where Tom Wilson was called for 5 minutes for fighting. Then at 5:41, Michael Latta scored his first goal of the season, assisted by Brooks Like and Carl Alsner at 5:41. Then at 15:12, Jay Beagle scores his third goal of the season, assisted by Andrei Burakovsky and Matt Niskanen. And at the end of the second period, it was Calgary 2 and Washington 2. Shots were 37-34, respectively. The Washington Capitals outshot Calgary 15-7. Then in faceoff, the Caps won 32 to the 30 that Calgary has won. Hits were 19 apiece, and both teams were 0-for-2 on the power play. In overtime at 1:40 into OT, Sean Monahan scored his sixth goal of the season from TJ Brody and Dougie Hamilton to win the game. So Calgary wins 3-2 in overtime. Capitals outshot the Flames 36-29, 33-32 were the faceoffs in favor of the Caps. Hits were 19 apiece, and both teams were 0-for-2 on the power play. Now, since the Calgary Flames were the better team in this game, they played a full 60 minutes and for the most part made the Caps play into their game. The Caps did not play the same way they did the night before in Philly. The Caps did a nice rally in the third period after the Flames scored their second goal, but in the end were not victorious. The Caps will have 4 days to get themselves refocused as they face the Detroit Red Wings again, who will this time have Pavel Datsyuk in their lineup. And with that, we'll be going to break and we'll be doing news and notes when we come back.
Tilted Kilt Girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And it is now time for news and notes. And we're going to start with November 7th, where Washington Capitals forward Alexander Ovechkin tied Sergei Fedorov for the most goals scored by a Russian-born player in the NHL. Ovechkin scored 451 into the second period against the Toronto Maple Leafs at Verizon Center. Ovechkin has 483 goals in 772 NHL games. Fedorov had 483 goals in 1,248 games with the Detroit Red Wings, Anaheim Ducks, Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Washington Capitals. Also on 11-7 of the 11 games contested Saturday, 11-7, four featured a team scoring a tying or go-ahead late goal in the third period en route to victory. Washington scored 8.8 seconds left, Montreal scored with 1:08 left, Carolina scored with 4 seconds left, and Buffalo scored with 17 seconds left. And on November 7th, four goaltenders, Jake Allen, Michael Neuver, Devin Dubnyk and Anton Khudobin recorded shutouts to guide their clubs to victory. Jake Allen had 45 saves, 19 in the second period to earn his 7th career shutout. Devin Dubnyk had 31 saves, 13 in the first period to earn his 16th career shutout. Anton Khudobin had 31 saves to earn his 5th career shutout. And Michael Neuver had 28 saves, 12 in the first period to earn his 10th career shutout and help the Flyers end a 6-game skid. Neuver is also the first goalie in franchise history to record a shutout in each of his first 3 wins of a season. In 8 appearances this season, Neuver is 3-2-1. Then on November 8th, the St. Louis Blues announced that forward Robbie Fabbri will remain with the team for the remainder of the season. Junior eligible players can be returned to their junior team if they play in 9 games, but once they play in their 10th game, their entry-level contract starts. They can still be returned to their junior team, but cannot be recalled until their junior team season is over. Also on 11-8, the Dallas Stars improved to 12-3-0, 24 points after defeating the Detroit Red Wings 4-1. The Stars are off to the best 15-game start to a season in franchise history. Also on 11-8, after their 3-1 lead was erased, Kyle Palmieri scored a power play goal at 3:33 of overtime as the New Jersey Devils improved 8-2-0 in their last 10 games, following an 0-3-1 start. And on 11-9, Tampa Bay Lightning forward Andre Palat will miss 3 to 5 weeks with a lower body injury. Palat left a 1-0 loss to the Minnesota Wild in the second period on 11-7 and did not return. During a play by the Minnesota net, Wild forward Nino Niederreiter fell on Palat's left leg. On November 9th, Sergei Fedorov, Phil Housley, Nicholas Backstrom, Chris Pronger, Angelo Ruggiero, Carolina Hurricanes owner Peter Karmanos Jr., and former Hall of Fame chairman Bill Hay were all inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Karmanos Jr. and Hay are both being inducted into the Builders category, and Ruggiero becomes the 4th woman to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. On 11-10, the Montreal Canadiens announced that goalie Carey Price will miss another week due to a lower body injury. In Price's absence, rookie Mike Condon is 6-0-1 with a league-leading 1.57 goals against average and a .940 save percentage in 7 games. Also on November 10th, Henrik Lundqvist made 33 saves, record his 56th career shutout, and lead the New York Rangers to a 3-0 win against the Carolina Hurricanes. Also that day, Jake Allen made 24 saves for his 8th career shutout in 2nd straight as the St. Louis Blues defeated the New Jersey Devils 2-0 for their 6th win in 7 games. Also on November 10th, the Nashville Predators defeated the Ottawa Senators 7-5, scoring three straight to erase a 5-4 deficit in the third period in the highest scoring game in the NHL this season. And on 11-10, the Vancouver Canucks scored three times in the final 9:55 of regulation, powered by the line of Daniel Sedin, Yannick Hansen, and Henrik Sedin to defeat the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-3 and snap a three-game skid. On November 12th, the Detroit Red Wings announced that they have signed forward Justin Abdelkader to a 7-year deal worth $29.75 million and has an average annual value of $4.25 million per season. On 11-12, Team Europe announces their front office, Miroslav Shetan, who is the GM, and Ralph Kruger as head coach, were announced a while back, but today, on 11-12, they announced Winnipeg Jets coach Paul Maurice as assistant coach to Kruger, and they will be assisted by Sean Burke, Lauren Henning, Vaclav Nedomansky, Ricky Olchuk, and Washington Capitals legend Peter Bonder, who were named scouts for Team Europe for the World Cup next year. Also on 11-12, the Calgary Flames acquired goalie Kevin Poulin in a trade with the Tampa Bay Lightning for future considerations. And then on Friday the 13th, St. Louis Blues president of hockey operations and general manager Doug Armstrong announced the club has placed forward Martin Havlat on unconditional waivers. Havlat is seeking his unconditional release from the team due to personal reasons. Also on Friday the 13th, Colorado Avalanche forward Gabriel Landeskog has been suspended for two games without pay for an illegal check to the head of Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand in Boston on 11-12. Landeskog will forfeit $59,907.84 per the CBA. Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand, on the other hand, has been fined $5,000, the maximum allowable under the CBA, for roughing Colorado Avalanche forward Gabriel Landeskog in Boston on 11-12. And that is it for news and notes. Up now is On Tap for the Caps for this upcoming week. On 11-18, the Washington Capitals return to Detroit to face the Red Wings on hockey night, on a hockey Wednesday night rivalry night. Detroit Red Wings are 8-7-1 with 17 points as of today, November 14th. The key question marks for this game is, will Peter Mrazek shut out the Caps again? And what impact will the returning Pavel Datsyuk have on this game as well? Then on 11-19, the Washington Capitals are back home playing against the Dallas Stars, who are 13-4-0 as of November 14th, and have 26 points. And how will the Capitals fare as they face off against one of the hottest teams in the league right now? And then I got some notes for the 11-21 episode, the next Saturday episode. I will be in Richmond, Virginia for VA Comic Con and will be recording the Experience Hockey Talk live from VA Comic Con. However, as a result, the Experience Hockey Talk will be airing on Monday, 11-23. If I'm lucky, I will get it up on 11-22, the Sunday. Also, as a result of being at VA Comic Con, I will be missing the Capitals game against the Colorado Avalanche on 11-21. So my report on that game will be very minimal on the 11-28 episode. Also in December, we'll be having a new sponsor for the NWHL report. The new sponsorship will begin on the 12-12 episode of the Experience Hockey Talk. And stay tuned, as on the 12-5 episode, we will announce who the new sponsor is. And with that, I'm going to log off. But everyone remember, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk. Serious Hockey Talk for a serious hockey fan. My name is Michael Lindemann. You could follow us on, or follow the podcast on Twitter at Experience Hockey, no E at the beginning of Experience. And we have been brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them today on Facebook. And until then, I'll see y'all on the ice.